and to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily. According to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is January the 11th, 2026. It's the second Sunday in this new year, the year of 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. There you will find past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living archived. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you did not subscribe in 2025, we invite you to subscribe in 2026. You only need to subscribe one time. You are invited to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m., and at 5 p.m. We assemble again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM or WGNZ AM 1110 or on FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com and WGNZ.com. And since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth the following warnings in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19, not to add to or to take away from God's word. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? Friends, the last 2 weeks, the final week of December of 2025 and the first week of 2026, we have been discussing the biblical view of prosperity. The biblical view of prosperity. And as we concluded last week in the program, because of time, I rushed through the second point of that lesson. And so I want to take just a moment to recap for you what we covered just ever so briefly before we get into the next point and we conclude for today. To recap, we observe from the Bible that success or prosperity has more to do with your treatment of people than how they treat you. In the Bible, as we observe, James teaches us this principle in James chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, to make sure that we take upon ourselves the mind of Christ, and we emphasize emphatically what the Lord emphasized, and he summarized this teaching, and we looked at the words of our Lord as recorded in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, where the Lord made this observation, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. And so success or prosperity has more to do with how you treat people than how they treat you. Then we observe, second, that success or prosperity has to do more with internal qualities than with external circumstances. Success or prosperity has to do more with internal qualities than with external circumstances. And we observed a number of things from God's word relative to this, and one had to do with, by way of illustration. Now, Paul says, whatever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope, Romans 15, verse 4. We observed by way of illustration, biblical illustration, the point that God made with the choosing of the first king of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, as you remember, the prophet thought that God would select the oldest son of Jesse, Eliab, because of his stature, because of all of the outward figures, all of the outward components that this man presented, and what he saw, and he just assumed that, oh yeah, this has to be the man that God would choose. But God reminded the prophet that that is how you think. This is not how God deals with people. And this is an important lesson that we constantly need to learn, that God does not assess the way that we do. God does not assess by the outside, but by what's on the inside. And so that Samuel would say, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the Lord looks, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Verse 8, so Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And so the point here is that God did not choose the way man thought he might, because God's assessment is entirely different. Success or prosperity has to do more with internal qualities than with external circumstances. We were sharing the story that Irma Bombeck had printed, and I was pointing out that Irma Bombeck was in that article that she wrote about who is a champion, and people continue to go to the wrong summit, and they continue to crown the wrong champion. In God's eyes, success has more to do with internal qualities than with external circumstances. And too many times, individuals are more concerned about the externals, and they fail to get the right thing. They fail to get it in the right way. You know, think about this. I'm reminding you that God expects his people to develop a proper biblical worldview. It is a worldview based upon God's word. The standard is God's truth, John 17. It is that which we will be governed by, John 12 and verse 48. We need to be concerned about not pleasing man and not pleasing self, but we need to be concerned about pleasing Almighty God. Jesus said that he always does those things which please the Father. Jesus said that's his goal, and that is to be our goal. We need to be concerned about how God views us and what is God's plan, what is God's will, and making sure that we are complying with his will. Dayton, are you listening? And so, I want you to think now, number three, success has more to do with God's view of you than with others people's view of you. Do you hear me? Success, prosperity has more to do with God's view of you than with other people's view of you. Again, if we consider Luke 16 and we think about this imaginary high school reunion, and the who's attending this high school reunion, and when people go back to this high school reunion, well, you know, the rich man goes back to his imaginary high school reunion, and from Luke 16, the world's view, he's doing quite well. He's probably listed in every who's who that's been published. The rich man is in who's who in Jerusalem. He's in the who's who of Palestine. He's even in the big volume that might be called the who's who in the Roman Empire of the first century. If success is how people view you, then he has made it, and made it big. Some sociologists like to say that we feel most successful if the most successful people in our lives consider us to be successful. Really? Is this the standard? Is this the measurement of success? You know, think about what we've already emphasized. Who is it that we're trying to please? Well, we should be concerned about pleasing Almighty God. We should be concerned about what is God's standard of success. What is God's standard of prosperity? We should be reminded of that which God told the children of Israel through Moses when they were going to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 6, he reminded them not to seek the world's prosperity, not to seek the successes of the world. But we are to seek to be well-pleasing and acceptable unto God by being obedient to his commands. Paul in the New Testament would make this important observation. I want you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then toward the middle of that chapter, Paul, as he is pointing out the power of the gospel and that it is the gospel that casts down. Notice earlier he says, for those who are in Christ, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Paul says, yes, we live in this world, but we work differently. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We observe our responsibility as children of God is to be obedient to what God has said. And then he makes this observation, and this is the point that I really want us to get as we think about this, that success has more to do with God's view of you than with other people's view of you. For Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Paul says, the individuals who use the measuring stick of themselves and you compare yourself to someone else, he says, when you're doing that, you're not very wise. That's not the standard. The standard of success, the standard of prosperity is not measuring yourself against other people. That's not the standard. God does not use that methodology. And so, what makes young children feel successful or prosperous? You know, when mom and dad tell them how much they are worth. On the other hand, if parents constantly put down their children, they start to think of themselves that way. How do teenagers typically come to their self-esteem? It isn't from parents, but from their peers. The people around them at school, at the assembly, the ones they consider to be most successful or prosperous. Teenagers want to be perceived as successful, especially by the opposite sex. Boys want to be perceived by girls as being successful, and girls want to be perceived by the boys as being prosperous. What about adults? How do adults come to their view of success or prosperity? I'm afraid that it is no longer through parents or immediate peers. Rather, it is from everybody in general, but nobody in particular. Today, it is through Alexa. What does the world say? What's the other one? The one that Apple has. Because I don't have an Apple device. And so whatever that one is, people want to know. Now the Google has theirs, Copilot, and Siri. And so Alexa, Siri, Copilot, those aren't the standards. ChatGPT is not the way to assess. We want people in the world to think we're somebody. We want to be perceived as successful. And if we think this way, we are setting ourselves up for a tremendous life crisis. Because people won't always have that view of us that they have at that point in time. Think about this. Many years ago, the late Ricky Nelson sang a song called Garden Party. And in that song that Ricky Nelson sang, he dealt with other people's views of success. He sang these lyrics. I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. But all of his old friends had a different concept of success than he did. So he concludes the song by saying, you can't please everyone, so you gotta please yourself. You know, Mr. Nelson is right in this point that you should not try to please other people. He is right by concluding that our view of success or prosperity can't be found through other people's eyes. But as a child of God, as a Christian, we don't have to look to ourselves to find success. We don't have to look to others to find prosperity. We need the significant other person in our lives to be Almighty God. Paul raised the question this way: for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. We need to see success or prosperity, not in terms of how others see us, but we need to see success and prosperity in terms of how God sees us, in terms of our faithfulness, in terms of our obedience to the work that God has given us to do. Satan, are you listening? You know, it is easy to be misled by life's twists and turns, life's ups and downs. It confuses us when good goes unnoticed and unrewarded, while evil seems to prosper. life can be terribly unfair. Solomon put it this way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 14, there is a vanity which occurs on earth. There are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. You know, when that happens, it's easy to lose our perspective on true success. True success happens when we determine to yield ourselves and to be obedient to the will of God. Some people might say that, well, Jesus was successful when he entered into the city of Jerusalem and people yelled and screamed and cried down and put the palm leaves down in the street and all of that. No. Jesus was successful when he completed his obedience to his heavenly Father. And he surrendered himself so that he could be taken to the cross of Golgotha. And he gave his life. The Bible says he was obedient even to the point of death. When that occurred, God exalted him, raised him from the dead, declared him to be Lord and Christ, Acts chapter 2. Success, prosperity. Oh, it doesn't occur from the standpoint of the world. But realize that the world's view of success, the world's view of prosperity is transitory. The world's view of success is temporary. God's view of success has to do with that which is eternal. We conclude by reminding ourselves of this. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth can break, where thieves can break in and steal and moths can corrupt, but treasure for yourselves treasures in heaven. Friends, if we can assist you in any way in trying to learn what the real prosperity in life is and how to obtain that real prosperity in life, reach out to us. Dayton, I hope you have been listening.